For those who just joined us, I'm going to introduce myself again. My name is Mahnaz Kargar. I am a PhD candidate, graduating in 2 weeks, almost done, from Department of Horticulture at Auburn University. And I'm going to talk about a part of my dissertation today with the title of Antioxidant Activity of 6 Different Banana Cultivars During Ripening. During the last century, there has been an increase in promotion and public awareness of having healthy diet. And because of that, there was a high demand for fresh fruits and vegetables. According to WHO, or the World Health Organization, we need to have 400 grams of fresh fruits and vegetables per day to be healthy. One of these healthy foods which has been under a lot of attention recently is banana. Banana has been always in our food. It's an ancient fruit, and it's considered as a food staple. In fact, it is the fourth most important food after rice, wheat, and maize. Per capita consumption of banana in the United States is 12.0 pounds. And for sure, no need to mention how nutritious and healthy this fruit is. Banana fruit is a good source of minerals like potassium, magnesium, magnesium, and some vitamins like vitamin E, vitamin A, vitamin C, and dietary fibers, and also antioxidants like phenolics and carotenoids. Having a look at top 10 banana producers in the world, showing that United States is not among these top 10 producer countries. In fact, it is the number one banana importer in the world. We have some banana production in the state of Hawaii, which is in commercial scale. And after that, we have some production in Florida, but it's not commercial, and it's just for local consumption. After having this introduction about banana, let's talk about biodiversity. Recently, Food and Agricultural Organization published an article about biodiversity. According to this article, biodiversity is defined as the variety of genes among plants, animals, fungi, and microorganisms. Biodiversity is key to food security and nutrition. But how? Imagine a situation with some kind of challenges like climate change, hurricane, storms, or disease spreading. If we have only one variety of each plant or animal, that variety may not be resistant to that circumstance and may not survive. But if we have wide varieties of cultivars or different varieties, there might be some of them which are resistant and can survive. We have the similar situation right now for the current commercial banana cultivar. A rapidly spreading fungal disease named Panama disease put the banana cultivar under the risk. The first outbreak of this disease happened during the 50s and almost wiped out the whole existed banana cultivar, which was at that time commercial and named Gros Michel. And it's happening again. But what is this current commercial banana cultivar that we are talking about all the time? It's called Cavendish. It has different kind of varieties and cultivars. The most popular one is Williams, which you are all familiar with and you can find in every single grocery store. It's the world's most popular banana with the global export worth $12 billion. It's the AAA from Musa Acuminata. But as I mentioned, most of the consumers are just familiar with the one that they can find in grocery stores, with Cavendish or Williams. But we know that there are hundreds of varieties and cultivars grown all around the world, and we just simply are not familiar with them. Recently, there's been a group of researchers started a study having on banana production in southeastern of the United States. They want to know if we have this possibility to have our own banana production in southeastern of the United States because of the kind of tropical and semi-tropical climate that we have there. Besides these researchers, there are other group of researchers like me that are interested in fruit quality and nutritional aspects. We believe that now that we want to have our independent banana production, we need to choose the cultivars which are superior not only in production and yield, but also in fruit quality aspects, nutritional aspects, and consumer acceptance. Therefore, we decided to design an experiment to determine the effects of cultivar and ripening stage on fruit quality attributes and nutritional aspects of 6 different banana cultivars cultivated in southeastern United States. In this specific presentation, I'm going to talk about total phenolics and antioxidant activity. So we selected 6 cold hardy banana cultivars from southeastern United States growing in Pahokee, Florida. We harvested the fruits when they were at their full 3/4 stage of maturity. Then after the harvest, we transported them over the night to the post-harvest lab in Department of Horticulture at Auburn University and stored the fruits at 20 degrees Celsius and 95% relative humidity. Then we just let them to be ripe, and we selected the fruits in 4 different ripening stages, including mature green, transitional, fully ripe, and overripe. The cultivars that we selected for this study were including Williams, which is the standard one or the current commercial one, and the rest of them are including Goldfinger or Fiavan, Huamua, Candarian, Pisang Raja, and Sava. In this table, you can see the other names, the local names, and you can see in the third column that they have different ploidy and genomes. We prepared the samples, cut them, and stored them immediately at minus 80 degrees Celsius. All of the sample preparation and procedure were done under amber light to avoid any kind of photooxidation. We measured total phenolics content, antioxidant capacity based on a FRAP assay and degree of browning. We also took picture of all of the fruits in every single ripening stages to show how they change during the ripening and how they are different. Different cultivars are different in size, shape, color, and even browning susceptibility. As a result, the first thing that we measured was total phenolics in peel and pulp. The first thing that we can see in this slide is that total phenolics in peel was generally higher compared to the pulp in a few exceptions. I'm going to separate those tables to have a better view and more details. So first, we're going to talk about the total phenolics in pulp. First thing that we can see in this table is that different cultivars show different patterns during ripening. For example, Huamua and Saba showed the highest total phenolics in overripe, but we have some other cultivars that had the highest total phenolics in fully ripe stage or transitional stage. We even can see that highest total phenolics in Saba and Williams happened in mature green stage. In peel, again, we can see that the pattern of changing of total phenolics during the ripening was different based on the cultivars. And the highest of total phenolics in peel, in Goldfinger, Saba, and Williams, was observed in overripe stage. Overall, Candarian fully ripe showed the highest total phenolics among all of the cultivars and ripening stages. And what I forgot here is that transitional stage of Goldfinger and fully ripe stage of Pisang Raja showed the highest total phenolics in pulp among all of the cultivars and ripening stages. We also measured antioxidant activity in pulp based on gallic acid equivalent. What we can see is, again, different cultivars showed different pattern, different pattern of changing during the ripening stages. But overall, Pisang Raja showed the highest antioxidant activity in fully ripe stage based on gallic acid equivalent. We also measured antioxidant activity based on Trollox equivalent, and as you can see here, mature green fruits of Goldfinger and fully ripe fruits of Pisang Raja showed the highest antioxidant activity based on trolox equivalent. And again, we can see that the pattern of change is different based on the cultivars. We measured degree of browning to see how these cultivars are susceptible to browning in both peel and pulp tissue. As you can see, browning is increasing with advance in ripening, and most of the cultivars showed the highest degree of browning in overripe stage and even fully ripe stage, which makes sense. We know that ripe and fully overripe bananas are usually brown. Huamua overripe and Pisang Raja overripe in both peel and pulp tissue showed the highest susceptibility to browning. Therefore, we can conclude that overall, as we showed in the result, different cultivars have different responses during their ripening. There is no specific pattern for changing in total phenolics and antioxidant activity. Overall, Pisang Raja, Goldfinger or Fiavan, and Candarian showed highest total phenolic content among all of the studied cultivars and ripening stages. In general, peel had higher total phenolics compared to the pulp. So what's the point of knowing this? You know that each year we have a lot of waste material of banana peel. So knowing this fact that antioxidant activity and phenolics and some other nutritional aspects of peel is higher compared to the pulp can recommend us to use peel in some way like cosmetic products, pharmaceutical products, or supplement products instead of wasting them. In terms of antioxidant activity in both gallic acid equivalent and trolox equivalent results, Goldfinger and Pisang Raja were determined as the cultivars with the highest antioxidant activity. And as you remember, I showed you in the slide of degree of browning, Pisang Raja was the one with the highest degree of browning. So we need to educate people that necessarily the brown banana is not bad, because most of the consumers assume that brown banana is a rot fruit and they just throw it away, but it's not necessarily true. It's just overripe. And based on this presentation and my previous presentations in the previous ASHS conferences that we had about carotenoids and vitamin C and different factors, we can see that in overripe and brown banana, we have higher level of antioxidant activity, phenolics, carotenoids, and vitamin C. Therefore, as I said, we need to educate people for this. And then I can recommend for the future researches that we need to come up with some pre-harvest or post-harvest treatments to reduce this browning susceptibility. And these are some of the literature citations that I used for this presentation. And I would like to thank my major professor, Dr. Floyd Woods, and my other committee members, and thank you.